All right, guys, it's time for the Next Level Guy Show, a men's interview, interest, and improvement-focused podcast featuring interviews with the greats from all industries to help you better your life. Each week, a new episode features an interview with one of the greats, covering all aspects of their story, from life hacks to tips and protocols that have allowed them to live life on the next level. We then highlight concrete action steps that you can use to improve your life. And now, your host, Ian Dawson McKay.
And today's guest is the man, the myth, and the legend, that is Heber Cannon. Heber and his friend and business partner, Marston Sawyers, aka the Buttery Bros, are filmmakers and just plain old buttery dudes. Heber and Marston know a thing or two about fitness. The Buttery Bros have produced and directed five of the world's leading fitness documentaries, have outpaced some world-leading athletes, and have had a front-row seat for the meteoric rise of the global fitness phenomenon that is CrossFit. The boys behind the camera unexpectedly became on-screen superstars after appearing in their hit YouTube series, The Buttery Bros, which has garnered millions of views and a devout fan base, aptly named The Butter Gang. Along with these films, they've created and produced everything from live sporting events on ESPN, music videos and commercials, to a plethora of popular features for the internet, which includes the web series Road to the Games. His goal in life is to use various storytelling talents to inspire others to become the best version of themselves possible. And in this interview, we discuss his story, CrossFit, fitness as a part of life, film and creativity, and why you need more butter in your life, and so much more. And now, let's get to the interview. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You have no idea how much of a pleasure this is. I'm a massive fan of the show. But for people who maybe don't recognize the name, could you give a quick introduction?
Yeah, my name is Heber Cannon. I'm a YouTuber by trade for about 5 years now, and have been doing filmmaking and fitness type activities for, about 14 years now.
Love it. Now, I believe you owe your grandfather and your brother and his friends for starting you in this creative journey. They got you into film when you were younger? Would you say
yeah,
that's
I mean,
truthful?
That's a good history to bring into my grandfather. My grandpa used to love... let's wait for a second. I got the beeping. My grandfather was fascinated by film, and he purchased a family film camera back in the day. I never really played with that, but that inspired my older brother, Chris, who is about 12 years older than I, to go down the journey of filmmaking. And so when he was in high school, really playing around with it, he would include me in part of his productions and high school short films. And I was a younger, like in one movie or skit that he made, he was remaking the movie Back to the Future. And he was a senior in high school, and they got into a fake DeLorean and went back in time to find out how they got so cool. And when they went back 15 years, I was the younger version of my older brother, Chris. And that was like one of the first times I saw what it was like to be behind the camera, saw the editing process, and grew my fascination and love for film for years, which ended up being my job, ended up being a huge influence in what I'm doing in my life now.
I love that premise that you have to go and find out, you know, you just know you're too cool, so you need to know the power source. So you go looking. Yeah. That's such an older brother thing to do, isn't it? Nothing about you, the younger brother, but... So how did you go from that to Mr. CrossFit? What was the inspiration for CrossFit? And how did you sort of think, this could be more than a hobby, this could be a career? Because you've turned it into a juggernaut. But what was that transition like originally?
Initially, it was just a stepping stone. So I live in Utah. And the goal after high school and college was to go down to Hollywood and make feature films, go down and direct movies. Whether I was acting or directing or editing, I just wanted to be a part of that world. And because I lived in Utah, there's different routes to try and make that possible, go down to Hollywood and meet and greet and really try to put your name to the ring there or make movies elsewhere. I decided that I was going to continue cutting my teeth and learning my craft of filmmaking here in Utah. And at least while my wife was finishing school and I was doing local projects, I was doing wedding videos, I was doing documentaries, and I was creating short films for fun and doing portfolio building work. So I was like creating an ad for a brand that didn't pay me, but just a way to learn how to better tell a sports drink video. So that's the kind of things I was doing. And at that time, I was also involved in my local CrossFit gym and paying for my membership by making videos for that gym. CrossFit HQ got a hold of those videos. I submitted and said, hey, I would love to work for you guys. This looks like a really fun company. I'm local here to Salt Lake City. I know a bunch of the boxes and gyms here. What could I do for you? And that led to them reaching out within 5 minutes, setting up a phone call the next day that lasted 4 hours long. And within about a month, I was doing so much part-time work for them that I had to let go of all my other clients and jobs that I was trying to do at that time, because it just overwhelmed me with the amount of work they needed. And I saw an opportunity to help a young budding brand that was growing. And I just saw the movie, The Social Network, where it tells the story of Facebook. And there's this guy, Eduardo Severin, who's working with Mark Zuckerberg at the beginning of the film. And then the crew goes to California and he stays back on the East Coast. And basically Facebook explodes without him. And he's still thinking he's working for the company, but he's just over here. I felt like I didn't want to be Eduardo for the CrossFit community. I felt like I could bring a lot of value and storytelling and filmmaking to that while making my way closer to Hollywood, because it was in Northern California. So I talked to a buddy of mine that was in the film industry. He said, yeah, take the job, go work with them. And then when we can set up meetings for you in LA, it's a 3 or 4 hour drive. Turned out to be like 6 hours, but you can make it much quicker than you could from Salt Lake, and you could make it overnight and take advantage of opportunities that were given to you. What ended up happening from there is CrossFit needed so much media and so much content, and the community was so thirsty for it that I ended up not having much time to take anything down in Hollywood or LA, and all my effort and energy went basically to building CrossFit headquarters for a very long time.
I love how you were just kind of, well, I needed to do this, so I approached this company, I did this. How did you get over that initial kind of, the ability to network, to kind of just go and ask for things? Because a lot of people are scared of that. Was that always part of your personality as a kid, or was that developed through sport and other stuff? How did the young version of you become just you? Did you always have this in you, this passion just to get what you want and just go and ask for it?
Yeah, I've never really been shy. So I think there's a few things. One, I've always been very social and an outgoing personality and trying to build relationships. And I learned through mistakes and things in high school how to better communicate and not get what you want, but to help both parties of a conversation feel like they were benefiting from the relationship. And then the other thing that is, it sounds a little weird, but it's true, is I went on a Mormon mission. And as a Mormon missionary, you're knocking on doors every day for hours on end, and people are saying, no, I don't want to talk to you about religion. No. And you're getting used to denial and being turned away, and that negative, learning how to just like blow, like not let that affect you. So when it came time to reaching out to brands or to reaching out to CrossFit, for example, all I was doing at that point was sending an email. Like, I'm not having a face-to-face conversation. I'm not like a lot of the introductions that you're making with if you're trying to work with brands or people is just a basic, simple email. And if you, so that wasn't intimidating for me at all. I just shot my shot, and worst case scenario, they said no. And I had nothing to lose. I just went back to doing what I was going to be doing anyways. So, it ended up working out really well for me there, but that lesson there is something that really helped when I went and started the Buttery Bros company, because we needed to reach out to brands and build those relationships a lot more than one email to CrossFit. I was sending tens of hundreds of emails to people asking them to support our little growing brand back in 2019.
I love it. I love how you just chase what you want. You just go for it. Because there's people sitting there for years going, I'm going to start a business year in, year out. And you guys just take the bull by the horn. And every one of your video, you are Mr. CrossFit. You know, you guys rock the world. You inspire so many people. The community loves you, etc. But how did you, when you were initially let go by the CrossFit headquarters, which was insanity when I look at it now, because you were doing amazing stuff for them. How did you let that motivate you? Because you've got a video on your social media where you use it as a stepping stone to creating something more beautiful, something more personable. How did you not let that destroy you? And how did you use that as a motivational juice or motivational butter to build the brand that you have now? Well, I think there's a lot worse I could have said there, but...
Well, two things. I don't claim to be Mr. CrossFit. I just love being a part of that community and love that community. And I don't represent HQ. I'm not some might think that I represent CrossFit, but that is its own entity. And we're very much doing our own thing, but we love and think the world of that methodology and the community that it's built is absolutely incredible. And that was one of the big reasons why I stuck around. So for those that don't know the story, when I was at CrossFit HQ, I helped them by creating shows for ESPN and helped them get onto ESPN and live television, which then became a CBS contract and a Facebook contract. Then in around 2013, I got kind of bored of that and moved over to, I got bored of live TV because that didn't really fulfill me artistically. And I went into making feature length films. And from 2014 to 2018, I was creating basically a feature film every year about something in the sport. The first one was about this athlete named Rich Froning, who was incredible and was retiring from individual competition. The next three were around the sport of fitness, the CrossFit Games, and crowning the fittest person on earth. And then in 2018, when we were almost finished with our fifth feature film for CrossFit, they let go of their entire media department. They changed the entire structure of the sport and really hampered what the company was doing at that point. They had a new trajectory that they wanted to go on, and it may have done well. It may not have, with a pandemic hitting and other circumstances, that the CrossFit has made some different choices and have gone sort of in a different direction and course corrected back to kind of what would be to. They have course corrected kind of back to what we were doing in 2018 before the changes. So anyways, for CrossFit or for creating our own Buttery Bros YouTube channel, initially when I was let go, I was hurt. I was definitely disappointed by the decisions that had been made, but I knew if I take this personal and I let it ruin me and a judgment on myself, that's not going to help me or anybody. I took calls to see if I wanted to do a different direction with my art and filmmaking. And I saw an opportunity to help this community that had given me a really cool life to that point, and that I'm very passionate about health and fitness and wellness. And so I thought, well, at least I'm going to make one feature film or some big media project around this sport independently of anybody else. And then we'll see what happens from there, because I can use that. Like, you could say that basically the commercials or the movies that I made for CrossFit while I was working for CrossFit were a commercial for that brand. So some people might not see them as films. So now I was going to make a very journalistic type film about the sport. And that's what ended up being the movie called The Fittest that came out in 2020. It did really successful. And to produce that, to finance it, essentially, we started our Buttery Bros YouTube channel, not with the intention of it being a financial resource, but just to document the behind the scenes on making that movie. And that turned out to be the most successful, rewarding thing that I've ever done, and opened so many doors and make things so fun in my life that is now what I've done full time, which is basically a behind the scenes YouTube show on what we do in a general day-to-day basis now.
That's a long story. No, that's I love the sort of the background to it, because that is such a unique way of doing it. Not take it personally and think, how can I use this going forward? How can I help others? That says a lot about your character. But the fact that the show was a kind of little side thing that you needed to help you create this media, and now look at what it's done, how it inspires and motivates so many people. Because that was part of it, was like, what was the mission behind it? But why do you think it's become so successful? I heard you mention in another interview that you could monetize it in the first day. You had something like 20,000 subscribers in the first day. Why do you think it's clicked?
Okay, so I think there's two things here. One, we could monetize the YouTube channel, but that doesn't necessarily, like, we don't make a lot of money off of YouTube. So monetizing it doesn't mean that I'm able to pay rent, essentially. Like, if we just took YouTube money, we wouldn't be able to afford anything. We would be very limited on our productions. We had worked in a niche. So if you're interested in making a YouTube channel or content like this, find a niche that you're passionate about and that excites you, and also love storytelling and filmmaking. So those two things came together really well for me. I had always had a passion in fitness and working out, and I'd always had a passion for filmmaking and storytelling. And so putting those two together and creating our own YouTube channel, and also helping to build this behemoth of a brand, CrossFit, from 2009 to 2018, really put me in a position where a lot of people in that community knew about who we were. And everyone at that time was very uncertain and saw the decision that CrossFit had made to let go of their media department as kind of a weird step for a company. And they wanted to support the creators that helped make the sport cool. And for whatever reason, people thought that what we were doing was helping make things look cool. And so we were lucky enough to have the support of the community almost instantly when we announced that we were creating a YouTube channel. So within the first week, we had 20,000 subscribers. Within the first month, we had like 50. We had a really big jump in subscribership and viewership right off the bat of starting the channel. And I think a lot of that came from the momentum and being at the right place at the right time when starting.
I love that. I love how you know that you've touched so many people that they want you to follow you on the journey, because like, you know, what you're creating and the emotions you create in them, etc. But how does Marston fit into this? And how do you find interacting with a friend? Because I think if I was working with somebody daily, competing, training, making videos, editing, I would probably murder them. How do you get along with your friend and doing that and spending so much time, possibly more than you do with your family at times?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times in the season where we're together a lot. We sort of started... Some of the decisions we made at the beginning of the business were out of necessity. And then also I knew very early on, and I don't know if he thought about this, but you could definitely, each of us could have done this on our own. Like, we very easily could have just started Marsden's channel and Heber's channel and been very independent and collaborated on occasion. But I knew that it would be more fun to do this journey with a friend and be with someone regularly who I get along with. But we both have our own independent lives and interests and things that we're into. And so we do get time away from one another. Like, I don't think I've seen Marsden for over a week now, and we talk daily almost. Starting next week, we'll be together for basically the next 3 weeks consistently. But that relationship was, we had built that through years of working together at CrossFit, back to CrossFit again, on various projects, and built a friendship where we trusted each other's artistic, abilities and knew where we had strengths and weaknesses. And then, also were able to enjoy similar activities and have enough distance where we're not too in each other's faces all the time.
I like that. It's that kind of balance between the two. Do you think doing these videos and the Battery Bros thing allows you to sort of train, compete, do the creative itch, you know, like making the videos, but also have the business, have the family life. You know, you have that kind of, it allows you to be creative, be the family man, have your training, but kind of split them, even so they are kind of linked together.
Yeah, there's definitely some, like, I'm not the best at life work balance, I don't think. But that's because a lot of my work and things that I do, I'm so passionate about that it bleeds over into other things, and same with my family. And so when possible, I'll try and bring my kids and my wife onto shoots, or especially when we go on adventures in distant locations. Like, we've taken my family to Hawaii the last 2 years for this big trail run, actually three times now. And those are really great bonding experiences for both me and my, and Marsden, as well as my family and the people that I work with daily, like Marsden and Julia.
Because I love that, like, that you dress as bananas and go on a trail run, but you take your kids, you take the wives, it's a family sort of adventure that you go. But I think you said, I had to write out where, you said your goal was to use your various storytelling talents to help others become the best versions of themselves. How then do you make your videos with that philosophy in mind? And how do you do it from a creator standpoint without, you know, sort of, without affecting the video as a fan? How do you make these videos with these kind of competing philosophies in a way?
I don't know that I see that they're competing, but I think that, so two things. One, any video we're making and how we think that we're helping others to become better is, all we're doing is, we know from experience, if I work out regularly, if I go to the gym and I do some sort of physical activity, and maybe it's not even in the gym, maybe it's skiing down a mountain or running in the mountains or water skiing or some sort of movement that gets your body and blood flow going. If you're doing that, you're going to have a difference mentally when you approach various situations, whether that's family, business, friends, and it's going to impact you outside of just making you feel and look better. It's going to impact you mentally so that you're sharper, you'll weirdly be smarter, more confident. The impact it has emotionally is incredible. And so then, if we make the hard part, which is for a lot of people going to the gym, look fun and make that look enjoyable, we hope that that impact would be more people going and doing that activity. And then the end result would be all ships rise. Like, if I just turn this one nozzle a little bit, water starts to flow out of these other nozzles as a result of this one. That doesn't mean that you can't take care of the other things that are going on in your life, but this one has a really big impact that you wouldn't think would touch these other areas, but it does. When it comes to how we use our creativity and what motivates us in storytelling, is I've always used the motto of, what would I want to watch? And so always creating a story or following a subject that I find interesting. If I find it interesting and I want to invest time with it, and I put my talent into making it as good as possible, I just can only hope that others would find enjoyment out of watching it as well. But I have always used myself as a metric of, if I don't think this is entertaining, then I wouldn't watch 8 minutes or 25 minutes or an hour of this. Maybe a lot of people would, but I go back and rewatch a lot of my older episodes, and I still to this day enjoy them. I'm biased, obviously, but we definitely put a lot of effort into creating the best content we can.
Because you guys are a massive part of it. It's why a lot of the videos are already great content, you know, the way, like, the artistic shots, the viewings, the backstage interviews. But you guys make the videos, you bring them along together, the friendships are great there, the inside jokes, just the love and the passion that you have for it. It's so inspiring to see it. I mean, a lot of your documentaries are, like, always some of the best sellers on iTunes, etc. So which was the sort of most inspiring, entertaining, like, enjoyable videos? Were the ones that kind of stand out, or do you just have so much fun on a daily basis that you just enjoy creating content?
I enjoy making content, and I make content even if it's not for like I just love documenting stuff with my family. My kids get sick of it. I enjoy definitely taking photos, shooting video, storytelling on levels of things that are never going to be seen, to story reels on Instagram and TikTok, to posts, to feature length documentaries and YouTube in between. I enjoy all of that. There's definitely projects that I'm more excited about. And there's also projects where I'm going to almost, I don't want to say I'm ticking a box because I'm always having fun. We never take on a project that we're not like a little bit excited about, but there are ones that I'm definitely more passionate about than others. Like, how could you not be more excited to go heli skiing in Japan than covering a local throwdown, or even like I enjoy going and doing things for myself a lot more than I do just documenting what other people are doing. I'll say that.
Because it comes across in your videos of how much fun you have. You know, you just seem to love life. And I think there was actually one episode I listened to you being interviewed where the title was about how to live a life that you truly love. And I just thought, you are living the awesome life. You are living the life we all want. But what was the appeal about CrossFit? What was it that kind of drew you into it initially?
Well, two things. So back in 2000, well, I'll say even earlier, I loved physical fitness and I loved action in movies, right? And the best movies always have an awesome training montage. You know, Rocky has epic ones where he's running up mountains in Russia and he's punching raw meat in butcher shops. And, you know, I always loved that stuff and I loved working out as a result of it. Then in 2008, the movie 300 came out, or maybe that was 2007. Anyways, around that time, 300 had come out, and I had watched a lot of the behind the scenes on how they trained for that movie. And it resonated with me to not just have isometric movements happening in front of a mirror, but to be a little bit more grungy. Like, it felt like Rocky IV, where Rocky is training out in the wilderness and then Drago is training in a facility. And I loved that kind of grungy feel that it had. That I understand that that's not for everybody, but I enjoyed it specifically at that time. And I saw a lot of the blogs talking about when they released this video and comments showing the behind the scenes training that Mark Twight put the actors through. And a lot of them just commented, this looks like CrossFit. And then I didn't really know what that meant. That didn't hit me what that was at that time. Flash forward a few months, my buddy had lost like 40 pounds going to the gym and he looked fantastic. And awesome. Everyone asked him what he was doing. And my buddy Ben Hollingshaus, and if you go back, like watch early 2010 and 11 videos of CrossFit, he's in a bunch of my videos then. Ben Hollingshaus showed me this little website blog called CrossFit 801. And it had a bunch of workouts in it. It looked like a grungy gym with kettlebells. And I said, that looks like what they did in the movie 300. I want to do that. And so I went with him the next day. He beat me in this workout. He has no right beating me in any physical activity except for maybe a deadlift. And I was pissed. And so from that moment forward, I was just invigorated with, I want to do and be good at this sport. This is for me. I loved playing basketball, but I enjoyed the running drills just as much as I did the basketball drills. And I enjoyed when I played rugby, I enjoyed the training and physical drills almost more than I did the tackling drills and ball drills, because I just loved the endorphins that I got from pushing my body in areas that I could. And training was always that for me. And so when I found this, and then I found out it had its own sport, not just a way to train, I became infatuated and watched every video that CrossFit ever put out or anybody made online. And just, it was like opening Pandora's box and diving in head first. It was a big moment in what defined who I am and what I'm doing now, because it really did resonate with me to be fit, not just for a sport, but to be fit over a lifespan and to be functional at 85 because of things that you did when you were 40.
Because that kind of fits in perfectly with the next question, because I love how, like, passionate and immersive you make yourself when you get into these sorts of things. And I mean, I watched 300 and thought, whoa, they're amazing. And I went off and started doing powerlifting and stuff. And it's amazing how media can inspire, which is what your videos do to so many people. But CrossFit, you know, everybody's jacked. They're all sitting with 19,000 abs. They're sitting built like brick shit houses, but they're mobile. They're doing pull-ups, all these like handstands. And, you know, it's you're like, whoa, this is amazing. Do you think everybody should be doing sort of CrossFit-esque workouts to do the physical demands to make us fit for life?
The short answer is yes. The nuanced answer is CrossFit doesn't necessarily need to be, or functional fitness doesn't necessarily need to be exactly what you see in CrossFit gyms around the world. It looks intimidating. Like if not, like I said earlier, not everyone's going to see that grungy gym from the movie 300 and think, oh, I want to be a part of that. My wife looked at it and thought that looks disgusting and dirty and diseased written everywhere. What I would suggest for people interested in fitness but intimidated by CrossFit is to just start somewhere. It doesn't matter if it's a CrossFit gym or a F45 or Orange Theory. The more you start moving, the better you will feel. And then you, for me, like I have objectives of, I want to do this for this period of time. I want to do this for this period of time. Mm-hmm. And so CrossFit was my style of training for a very long time. And I still do it very regularly. It is the foundation of my fitness, but I do other things as well. Cause I'm not just interested in this one thing, but I think people put CrossFit into a box of it's super intense metabolic conditioning, that you're doing various gymnastics movements and Olympic lifting movements. And it's very hard and it can be, but it's also doing functional movements when you're 85 and deadlifting really lightweight, very carefully. And the intensity is where things are tweaked so that my dad, who's 84, could be doing CrossFit, but just scaled back to his abilities. And I think if you were doing that at that age, when you're older, you will have a much longer lifespan. Like there's lots of research that's coming out lately talking about how one of the single most important things you can do for longevity is strength training. And I do not think that if done properly, there's a better fitness program than CrossFit. But I do think that you can be too ego driven and do things inappropriately that lead you to not to be injured. But if done properly, CrossFit should be rehab, and it should be rehab for life. And don't let what you see in the gym intimidate you. Just go in with the right mindset and knowing that you'll need to scale to make things appropriate for you so that you can do this for the longest time possible.
I love that. I love that way that you look at this, because so many people look and go, oh, I can't do handstand press ups, I can't do that. But they won't go and try or scale or build up to it. I mean, I used to do deadlifts, I was powerlifting, built up the neck, built up the back, was doing over 200 kilogram for reps, and then I could be out of breath going up the stairs, you know. And suddenly I found jiu-jitsu, and that was the sport for me. But I really like the idea of CrossFit. And I love that you've got a series about year 40, try to get the fittest you possibly can. Because everybody assumes old age, that's it, you're screwed, you're that for life. And you're showing you can be the fittest when you've got a fantastic series on that. I think, was it Socrates that said about it's a shame not to be able to see the beauty and the strength of the body or the capability of the human body? So do you think there are physical benchmarks that you would say to somebody starting or doing CrossFit or any sport to kind of be fit for life? Is there such a level that you could give, like a general criteria? Is there such a thing, or is it all unique?
I think it's all unique. I think you want kind of everything, and it's fun to dive into specifics. Like you dived into powerlifting and you got probably really strong if you're doing 200 kilos for reps. Excuse me. But it does, you know, you take away potentially some part of your overall fitness as a result of that by specifying and training specifically for that style of fitness and strength. The goal of CrossFit is to be as broadly capable as possible, which is a fascinating idea in theory. And lately I've been thinking, if I just work on specifics on the web of possibilities and build out that hedge, I can potentially maintain a little bit more than if I just try and work on everything at once. So I'm trying to expand like my strength with powerlifting, or my power with Olympic lifting, or endurance with Ironman training, but not all at the same time. Do this for a season, do this for a season, do this for a season. And hopefully overall, over the course of the next year, I'll be overall more fit than I was if I just stayed in the center. But using the basics and foundation of CrossFit to build everything as I go, specifically as I specify genres of fitness in the meantime. If that makes sense.
I love the way you look at this and your sort of theory behind it, because I used to think, oh yeah, I'm strong. And then when I interviewed Carrie Pierce, I remember saying to, I was thinking, oh yeah, I'm good, but I could do 2-3 reps. They were doing rep after rep, then pull ups, then, you know, I wasn't able to do the volume and the intensity, but I was thinking that I was in shape. But I mean, going up 3 flights of steps, I'd be out of breath because I'm so big and chunky, and no one told me you had to do cardio and all that malarkey. And now when I see it, I love that you're showing people that you don't have your limitations. You just need to find how to do it and build it and add in these things. And I love how it's become popular and cool. You know, and I think it is a real shame that people aren't doing this. So but how do you set up your training? What do you do in terms of sports specific, general fitness? Are you kind of just, because you do all these challenges like going for trail runs and stuff, you do hiking with the kids, you go skiing and things like that, do you just make fitness part of your life, or do you have a specific kind of idea of how you're building into these additional sort of circles to keep expanding your fitness?
Well, yes, fitness is 100% a part of my life. It is a non-negotiable for what I'm doing every day, whether that's doing recovery things like sauna and cold plunge on days where I'm not going to the gym, or going to the gym, or doing a physical activity like skiing. I'm doing something like that regularly. And with the foundation that I've built of doing CrossFit almost daily for 14 or 15 years, I've built up a decent baseline of functionality. So lately, to do these challenges that I'm doing, so for the year that I turned 40 in September, and I'm trying to PR sports specific things that I've done specifically in my past. So I've never done an ultra marathon. I've never done a 100-mile race. So I'm not going to do that now because it wouldn't be a PR. I could do a run for distance and see how far I could run. Because I've run certain distances, but I've also never done that. So the way I've come up with the challenges is I want to be able to PR my power lifts, which I feel like I did at the beginning of November. Right now I'm working, and for that, I trained like a power lifter for 2 or 3 months. Then now for the last 2 months, I've been training like an Olympic lifter, trying to PR my Olympic lifts. And then I'll transition back into CrossFit sport specific training for 2 or 3 months to do something there. And then in the spring and summer, I'm going to try and PR a marathon and an Ironman time. So my training will vary, but the concept is that in the middle of all of this, so I've been doing a lot of Olympic lifting, and I feel like I've used these few months to just train specifically like an Olympic lifter, and hoping that my baseline of general physical preparedness, GPP, will be able to be maintained by, I think once a week I've done like 30 minutes on a Stairmaster, or biking for zone 2 very lightly 2 or 3 times over the last few weeks. We'll see, but I'm not too worried about that, because after I finish this kind of journey with the Olympic lifts, I'm jumping right into heavy GPP training. And for the endurance stuff, one of my fears is that I think that running with poor form, which I don't have the best form, and I think a lot of people don't have the best form, if you run a lot, the impact it has on your bones constantly, step after step, mile after mile, to get ready for an Ironman and marathon training distances, would impact my GPP in a negative way. So to counter that, I'm going to do a lot more of CrossFit style of training, metabolic conditioning, short interval sprints, along with shorter distance running and swimming and working on technique and those things. So I'll be doing a lot of running, but I'll be doing less than most marathon runners. And my theory is that with the foundation of fitness that CrossFit has given me, I will be able to go and PR my marathon time with training specifically for that, different than I would if I was specifically just a runner. Because my goal isn't to PR my marathon time. It's to do that while also being physically capable in other things as well.
I love it, because I'm generally feeling like I'm going to do this, I need to do this. And you were motivating me there to think, I need to go and try that and see if I'm better than the former. Because I always feel like I let myself down when I was younger. I didn't go and give it all my all. I always let people's opinion or negativity get to me. And now that I am coming 40, when I found that series, I was like, this is it. That I, you know, I want to do this as well. But what really comes across in that series is how much you all motivate each other. You know, you work out with friends and you drive each other. There's the inside jokes. You're nipping at each other, but it's all fun. But you push each other to hit your PRs, to push yourself. What do you think is the importance of that? Is that the success of CrossFit, that community? Is that the success of the Battery Bros, that you have each other to kind of the family to work out PRs together?
I'll say the difference of CrossFit versus the Buttery Bros is two different things. For CrossFit and the community there, the community and camaraderie happens as a result of shared suffering. So when you're going to a class and you're enjoying and working out and going through the same pain thresholds with other people, you just build a bond through that. And yep. Also, the benefits you get from it aren't just community. Like I said earlier, like the mental benefits and the stuff between the ears that you get from training like that is insane. And there's this level of respect you have when you train with other people and go through that. And you want to see other people succeed, because it's one thing to beat someone a workout when they suck at it. It's another thing to beat someone in a workout when they're good at it. Like Matt Fraser always said, but he said in an interview I did with him, I don't want to beat you when you're not at your best. I want you to be at your best and me still defeat you. That's my goal. And not that I'm trying to beat anybody but my former self. Like I've come to terms that I'm never going to be a good CrossFit Games athlete. I'm not the best in the sport. And I'm not a good power lifter. My marathon time is going to be atrocious compared to top marathon runners. For me, it's me versus me. And I have more fun doing these activities when I have friends around me that are supporting me and building me up. And that helps to motivate me to come back and also support them in their endeavors as well.
It's time for a quick break. There are millions of potential products to buy, so how do you know which ones are worth your hard-earned money? Simple. You go to nextlevelguy.com/affiliates and explore those that will transform and improve your life. You'll find deals, listener exclusives, and special offers with some great companies. Recommendations are 100% honest and only on items Ian has tried or believes in. The companies showcased will make you a better man in all areas of your life. Simply go to nextlevelguy.com/affiliates and level up.
So is that the thing that keeps you motivated during grueling sessions, is it's me versus the yesterday me, being better than what I was previously, and sort of being that there to sort of inspire people to keep them going and helping teammates? You know, what is that the thing that goes through your mind when you're doing these training things of, I want to be better than I was yesterday, or I want to be happier or give my all and find out where my true limits are? You know, or are you there to kind of motivate your friends, or is it a mix of everything?
I think there's a mix of everything. And then also I don't think about it I'm not looking for motivation, because I'm there, you know, like I don't need to talk myself out of sitting on the couch and going to the gym, because I'm going to go. Like there's not a discussion about it. It's just something that I've built into my life. And so that might sound, I hope that doesn't sound elitist or come off the wrong way. I'm just not thinking about what motivates me when I'm there. I just go do it because I enjoy it. Like, I look forward to it. For me, fitness, when you're a little kid, my kids are out in the other room. When I take them to school, when they come home, one of their favorite parts of school isn't the classroom. It's the recess where they go and they play and they have fun. For me, the gym is my recess from life, and it's where I reset so that I can attack the other things and learning things like the classroom things with a much better attitude. And so when I go to the gym, I'm looking forward to it. There are times where it's a grueling session and things aren't going well. Like the last 2 months, I've been doing snatching and clean and jerks, which is very hard. It's something I haven't done for years. I've just cherry picked workouts and scaled them so that I never had to focus on this weakness. And it hasn't been very fun when I go, but I find ways to make it entertaining and I find ways to gamify it so that it still is a positive part of my day and not something that I dread. Coming up in the next, but you'll have to ask me again in 2 or 3 months when I'm doing this CrossFit stuff, because that will be very hard and there'll be a lot of suffering. And there are times where you have to motivate yourself and find things that motivate you. But that, I think, varies from every individual and what your goals are. For me, my goals are me versus me, trying to be a better version of myself, inspiring other people. For someone like Matt Fraser or Justin Medeiros, it's to be the fittest man on earth. And their way of finding motivation is very different than my way. And but again, what I am not striving for is to be super fit one weekend. I strive to be fit over a lifetime. And so the motivation for a lifetime is very different than the motivation to be extremely good for a weekend. And so I think for someone trying to better themselves and to be healthier, you got to find a way to make fitness fun, which is why I don't always say that CrossFit's the only way to get fit, because you can get super fit just running or swimming or biking or gymnastic stuff. Like, it doesn't just have to be this one thing. What we do is we do all this stuff, not just CrossFit. We do gymnastics, we do lugeing, we do skiing, and we incorporate things back to CrossFit and functional fitness. And hopefully we make this part look cool so that people that are doing these other things, these ultra marathons or ice skating or whatever it is you're doing, see this and think, oh, if I do this, maybe it will better what I'm doing over here. And this looks cool. This community looks fun. I want to be a part of that. And the end result is we trick them into getting into this community.
I love it. I love that idea of using like fitness as the recess for life. I love that, because during COVID, I stopped training, but I carried on eating like I was training. So I was eating like I was doing jiu-jitsu 3 or 4 times a week, and I became a real, well, a fat bastard, basically. And I'm trying to get back to it, but my brain has got into this slow, sluggish, stay on the couch, you know. And when I watch your videos, I can't help but feel motivated. I want to get to the gym. I want to go try CrossFit. I want to go and get grab some mates and go and do jiu-jitsu, do like hiking, maybe not dress as a banana and go on a 12K trail, but you know. But there's that love of fitness and that inspiration in your videos. Do you think then people need to be challenging themselves to kind of constantly doing that to be to fit? How would you encourage somebody who's maybe been sitting on the couch for most of their life to get into fitness, to start challenging themselves, like the you versus you mentality?
I think I would encourage people to weekly write down goals. So I would set 3 sets of goals, one for the year. And I think most people, I forget what the quote is, most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a week, right? So write down what you want to accomplish in the year. Write down what you want to accomplish in 3 months, and write down what you want to accomplish this week. So for example, I had the goal of snatching 201 pounds in a few days. 2.5 months ago, I could power snatch a lot of weight. I could barely squat snatch 75 pounds. And so I had the long-term goal of snatching 200 pounds. I had the short-term goal of squat snatching 115, or that's like, 55 kilos, you know, to speak your language. So the short-term goal of finding a weight that's reasonable to accomplish in the next week. And then the 3 week goal of, okay, by this time I want to hit 170 pounds. And, you know, that's, I'm going to give up on the kilo thing. That's like 70 kilos. Anyways, these short-term goals that build to a long-term goal, that is a small checklist so that you, when you check them off, you have these small goals that are attainable, but you feel productive and it motivates you to keep down that path. If you're looking, if all I had done is continue to look at that 200 pound behemoth, that isn't really a behemoth for relatively strong Olympic lifters. You know, there's, it's a mediocre lift for the females of the sport, it's of CrossFit, not just the sport of weightlifting. But if I got caught up on that specific number, I would be so demotivated to do any of it that I wouldn't have had any progress along the way. But taking small goals that are achievable for what you're able to do. Now, that might be like, hey, your goal might be, I want to run a marathon, but you haven't run more than 400 meters in the last 10 years. So maybe let's start with, I'm going to run for 1 minute today, and I'm going to run for 1 minute every day this week. And then next week, we'll up that to 2 minutes. Running solid for 2 minutes for a lot of people is very hard. Sprinting for 2 minutes and sprinting 200 meters in 2 minutes, that could be a lifetime goal for some people. So take small, simple goals, keep yourself accountable, have others help you keep accountable, and don't try to bite off more than you can chew. Make small habit changes in your life that will eventually turnkey into massive changes that you can make over a lifetime.
That's fantastic advice. You know, and anybody listening should be setting their goals right now. How do you then plan out for your goals? I mean, because for me, I would be wanting to just get back through the door, say, and start having one training session, jiu-jitsu, you know, like these kind of small goals. But how do you plan your goals in your life? You know, how do you link in your goals for the channel with the goals with the family to the goal for your fitness? Or is it just all part of this journey that you're on? Do you use goal setting in any kind of way, or like visualization techniques?
Yeah, I need to do better about writing them down, because I just internally set goals and keep myself accountable, and I don't always let other people know what I'm planning. So I'm working on communicating what my intentions are with family and business partners. But I set these goals and I hope to bring not just the audience that's watching along for it, but my family in some sort of capacity. So like if I do an Ironman, we've been looking at doing an Ironman internationally. If I do that, I'd love to bring at least my wife to that journey. And then also dressing up like a banana in Hawaii and bringing my kids along for that specific journey. And the hope is that when you're doing these things, more people will come and view what we, the Buttery Bros, are doing and what Marsden's life goals are, and helping him plan things that are exciting for him. And showing that vulnerability and showing the tough side of creating and setting and achieving these goals looks like, to inspire other people to want to come back and watch more of what we're doing, I think brings more value to the channel and to the Buttery Bros. And so it has a big impact on not just my personal physical fitness journey, because my physical fitness journey, you know, it's only for me. But if other people enjoy it and it inspires others and it's told properly, more people could be interested and benefit themselves and take on their own challenges. And then they are more excited and they feel like they're a part of what we're doing because they're succeeding as a result of following this blueprint that we're creating. And they're coming back and watching more, and that's building here. And then sharing these life lessons that I'm learning with my kids along the way helps build that relationship. And so it's sort of this symbiotic relationship between business, my fitness journey, and my family. And so I try to do things that are within reason. And then also, you know, I would love to, after I finish this sort of series, find things where my kids are helping and being a part of that, especially as they get older. They're a little young now where the run that they're okay on, but I would love to document their journeys and help them, help me as well to be a better father and human as I continue to age. And, keep building this relationship between myself, my business, and my family.
Those are all fantastic goals. The fact that you're looking how to be a better husband, be a better father, be a better business partner says a lot about you. You know, it's not just, oh, I want a million subscribers. You're wanting to just be a better person, fitter person, help other people. How then do you go about learning these things? Because you have some great videos about showing when you fail a lift, showing you working on the technique part of your lifts. You know, how do you take these goals and activate the skills brain of it? You know, because me and you can both do a lift and you'll probably kick my arse day in, day out, because you'll know like the spatial awareness of where your limbs are, and you'll know how to better base and squat. You know, maybe if we went to jiu-jitsu, I'd be better because I maybe know more of the movement of it. So, you know, if we seen the techniques, we would be probably the same, but you would beat me in the incorporation of it. How do you start building in the ability to do handstand press ups? How do you learn how to do the more technical parts of CrossFit or any of these sports? Do you have a preferred method for learning skills like that?
Yeah, I mean, so having done CrossFit for a very long time, I've trained those things. So I've trained snatching for years, right? Like I did a lot of work back in 2014 through 16 on the snatch specifically, because it was something that I did in CrossFit. But from 2019 to 2023, I can count on one hand the number of times I snatched more than 165 pounds, because I never did. I didn't put any effort into it. I didn't practice any sort of squat snatching. And so because I've done it before, I knew I was able to do it, but I specifically for this journey and to make it a more interesting story, I've reached out to sport-specific coaches to help me with programming and watch my lifts and give me feedback so that I have someone who's very educated in coaching people. So I reached out to one of the best Olympic lifting coaches in the nation. She coaches Maddie Rogers, who's probably the best female Olympic weightlifter in this sport in the United States. I say that, but I've done absolutely zero research in the sport of Olympic weightlifting. So there might be other females, but I just happen to know Maddie and like Amy a lot. And so Amy and I have been working together for months on technique and what I'm doing and what my plan is leading up to the lifts and the day we shoot. I think those sports specific things, the best way to learn them is just to set small goals along the way. And with the hope of being able to do that movement in the future. So if you are wanting to do CrossFit, but you're like, man, handstand pushups, I don't think I could ever learn those. Well, you can. They just won't look like handstand pushups on week one. What they're going to look like is taking a dumbbell and pressing it over your head. And then what it's going to look like is you're going to put your knees onto a box and be have your hands. So your knees are here and then your hands are down here and you're going to be doing push-ups with your hands, lifting just a fraction of what your body weight is. And then you'll kick up into a wall and hold a handstand the next week. And then maybe you'll do like a half a handstand push-up. And then eventually we can work into getting you into a full range handstand push-up. And that might take a week. It could take 3 years. But if you continue to work on and chip away at that one movement, you'll be able to get it. Which when I started CrossFit, handstand pushups were atrocious. It took me 27 minutes to do this workout called Diane that had 45 handstand pushups in it. It took Dan Bailey less than like 90 seconds to do that workout a few years later in competition. I can now do that workout much quicker. I think by time I would guess it would be right around 4 to 5 minutes now. But that is something that I've sucked at. Overhead squatting is something that I sucked at. My depth in squats was something that I wasn't very good at. But I've worked on all of those things throughout time, and hopefully they've gotten a little better. I feel like they have. And I like, in the grand scheme of things, no one's going to care about what my overall CrossFit success is. What they want is to be a part of a journey and be a part of seeing success. And that can look like things in the gym. It can look like things with family. It can look like activities with friends. And that to me is the bigger story of what I'm telling and what we're doing with the Buttery Bros, not just CrossFit. But I've gotten way off topic to helping people learn the specifics of sport. But I think the general idea is to pick small goals, work on them with the overall goal being something that is achievable in a long period of time. Don't try and achieve that in a short period of time.
So if you then had to link that to your goals for the Battery Bros, for being a better father, for being a better partner, you know, the kind of goals we talked about before, what kind of cognitive training away from the gym, away from fitness, do you do? Do you read a lot? Do you kind of meditate? What kind of work on yourself, like your self-improvement work, if any, that do you do? Or do you just take each day and try to be a better person? Do you find certain habits work best for you, certain routines? What makes you, you?
I think one of the things I do when I'm doing zone two training is just internalizing, thinking through, or if I'm doing a long sauna session, I'm working through things mentally a lot. And that's a form of meditation in a way. But a lot of my self-help in a way is done just fighting demons in the gym. And that's another way of motivation that we haven't really dived into. But I don't do a good job of mentally, I've tried to specifically in the last 3 months, working on communication specifically with my spouse, with my wife, and making sure that both of us feel valued and feel acknowledged in what we're dealing with, both with business, our relationship, raising kids, and taking time. I think one of the things I learned from one of the things I strive to do is have a weekly discussion for, you know, whether that's 30 minutes to an hour with whoever it is that I'm working close to, like my spouse or my business partner, on what our goals are for that week or the long-term goals, what's gone on in the past few days, where things have gone well, what hasn't gone well, and what can we work on, and try to have those conversations in a non-hostile environment. If you're having that conversation under the stress of trying to produce a documentary and the deadline of trying to get something done at the last minute, and you're disappointed with X, Y, and Z, trying to point out those things then isn't going to be as successful or go as smoothly as when things aren't as tense and the stakes aren't as high. And so trying to really have early conversations about things that are pending that need to have been discussed as early as possible so that it doesn't come down to the last minute when things are very stressful. I think that's the biggest thing with helping me be a better husband, father, business partner, and friend. I will say that one of the things I strive to do this year, and like I didn't like write down my goals, which is exactly what I need to be doing, but is to write down things that I want to do, journal more, and have a little bit more mental clarity for myself so that I can be a better leader, friend, business partner, and husband.
Because it's really hard to imagine you as negative or fed up or angry or something, you know, or dealing with the demons. And I know that we all have our own. And I mean, I've had to go through, like, I tried cognitive behavior therapy. I was on antidepressants for a while. But I lost myself when I was younger. And it took me a while to kind of go into it. And the creativeness of the podcast really helped me kind of find who I was. And a lot of guys don't have that. And there's a lot of difference between, you know, calmness and confidence, ego versus kind of just being yourself, being authentic, etc. What's the best kind of approach for you? And how do you deal with when things go wrong? You know, when you have failed, how do you kind of bounce back from it? Have you found a way to analyze and come back stronger? Or do you just try again? Yeah.
So this is something I learned really early on. So I'll tell the story. I've never told it before, but it dates way back, but it was a really big life lesson for me. So, and it sounds ridiculous now when I'm saying it, but back in high school, I was the high school assembly's chairman. So all the students gather together to watch an assembly, and it has skits or like little mini plays that are comedic. It has dance routines. It has speeches from various people. And then this particular one, I had made 3 or 4 short films for various communities, like the dance team, and then there was something else. So I had three or four videos that needed to be played during this show. And for whatever reason, I was told that I couldn't show 2 of them, even though I had been through the process of getting them verified and the proper people had seen them, so that you're not just putting up videos in front of kids that are inappropriate, right? Like they have some sort of procedures. And I had done that, and One was questionable. I fixed it. They didn't take time to watch it. And I was furious, right? So on the day of the assembly, I didn't play the videos, but I was very upset. And I left before I could have any conversation. Like the teachers and the people that I was working with that had turned it down, tried to contact me that day. And I knew like, hey, this isn't a good day. I don't want to be around. I'm going to leave. So I left without having any follow-up conversations with anybody. But the following Monday, I scheduled a meeting with everybody and I took the weekend to write down what I had done, why I was right, why I was disappointed, and what I hope to see happen in the future, and had a very thoughtful conversation with the principal, with my advisor, with the fellow students. And the end result was they went and remodeled the entire speaker system of the auditorium to make it so that people could hear the videos better. They restructured the system of checks and balances to make sure things weren't inappropriate. And I want to say the principal tried to set me up with his daughter later on. Like it was very, there was a lot of success for a minor session of pain. And mm-hmm. I saw that as like, oh, like the end reward is going to be way better having suffered just a little bit for that one moment. And I was angry and it sucked, but it was going to be okay. And it didn't matter. It was just an assembly in high school. And I can't even tell you now what those movies were that weren't shown. And no one that was a part of them could probably remember them now. And so remembering that things that frustrate you and that upset you are very minor inconveniences in the grand scheme of things, and trying to keep your cool and calm so that you can have a better long-term win and take away from whatever situations you encounter. And I'm not always the best at that. There are times where we get frustrated when we're filming or when we're editing or when we're in the heat of trying to put out a 2-hour documentary the same week of filming it at the CrossFit Games last summer. But we try to remember, hey, this is an important video. What we're doing is impactful. More people are going to see this now than because of the success of the channel and the visibility of what's now available on YouTube. But the bigger win is to have a unified friendship and business and organization, both at home and in business with the Buttery Bros, to be more successful in 5 years than worry about what's happening this weekend. And so any issues that we have, we try to resolve them at a time that's more appropriate than the heat of the moment.
I think that's a great life lesson there. And I love how you were able to not sit and sulk on it. You were actually able to stop and go, okay, what do I want to say? How do I want to rectify the situation? You know, I mean, that says a lot about your personality as well. Where a lot of guys would have gone, oh, well, F you, do this, do it yourself, and left. You actually wanted to go back and make it better for people. And that's unique, especially at a young age. That says a lot about you. Because a lot of men at the high school age would not have had the ability to do that. Do you think that's why?
I should clarify that, like, that day, I was that guy. I was saying, F off, this sucks, this is stupid, I'm leaving. And, like, I didn't handle it well. I was just lucky enough that I got out of there before things exploded. And so, not that I'm not passionate. I was very passionate about everything that was going on that day. I got lucky that was able to get out of there and then collect my thoughts and then go back with a more proper understanding of what everyone's goal was. Nobody wanted the assembly to not be good. Everyone wanted that. We just had different ways and objectives that we were trying to do it and learning how to communicate and work together better. Same with the Buttery Bros. Every one of us wants to make the best piece of content possible. And when I look at everyone in the CrossFit ecosphere and media sphere, I think every one of us want to see more people doing CrossFit. And so learning how to do that and learning how to help everyone do better is something that helps all ships rise and everyone have more fun and be more successful.
That's a terrific answer, because it basically kind of partly answers my next question was, do you think that's why then your documentaries and your videos are so successful? Because when you watch you go into, say, the CrossFit Games or any of these kind of shows or your documentaries, do you have a way of getting people to open up, to all be happy, joyous, to take part, but be honest and be truthful and be authentic in their videos? You know, they're not playing characters or caricatures of who they think they should be. They're just being themselves. And it's all very fluid, unique, and honest in your videos and documentaries. Do you think that's partly by yourself being open and honest and being understanding that philosophy from making your videos? I know that's quite a grander question, but...
Yeah, so there's two things. I think a lot of people accuse us of being characters in our own show, right? Like, I'm not acting now like I do when I'm behind the camera or in front of the camera filming. And I think part of that is circumstantial. Like, right now, I'm not, like, yes, I'm in front of a camera. We're having a conversation, but this is a very different conversation than when I'm at the gym having my recess and having fun. Like, that personality that comes out and is imbued through me when I'm there is very much what I do when I'm at the gym and what I was doing before or without a camera. Like, if
I see you as the same person, like, I see you as the exact same great person on camera and, well, on camera. I don't see a difference.
I appreciate that. We've been accused of the opposite, but very much like when I go to the gym, I'm having that much fun. That isn't the same thing, though, as trying to get people to be authentic and be themselves and comfortable with me when I'm filming them behind the scenes in stressful situations with the games. Yeah. I think one of the main reasons why our films were successful in that sport and why our videos are very successful with any competitive person is before we get to the high stress situation and the high stakes situation of the CrossFit Games or their big moments, I'm building rapport and relationships with them the months leading up to that. So like Emma Lawson had a very stressful weekend last year at the CrossFit Games. 9 months before we got there, we're having Thanksgiving dinner with her and her family in Canada. And then a few months before we get there, and while we're there, I'm hanging out with her before the stress gets high. And I'm part of that world and I'm part of what's happening behind the scenes. And I'm not a point of stress for them. I'm a friend and I'm someone that they can trust because we've done this with them. I've had dinner with them. I've been in their homes. I've trained with them. They've seen me suffer. They've seen me look like an idiot because they're outlifting me. And then when we get here to their world where the stakes are high, I'm someone that they can talk to. I'm someone that they can vent to. And I'm someone that isn't a threat to them because I've been a part of the journey the whole time. I just am also there on the final day. And so whenever, like when I filmed the Froning documentary, I remember there was a few times where I said, before we get to the CrossFit Games, which is what is going to be the majority of this film, I need to have spent days with Rich. I need to have slept at his house. I need to have hung out with his wife and his friends and seen what his barbecues look like. And one day, the first day of the CrossFit Games, before the events had even started, he was just there signing in. I remember I filmed him through this whole public thing. And then he went to his hotel room with his friends and I stayed out in the hall and he texted me, he said, "Hey, where are you?" And I was like, I responded, "I'm just giving you some space. I don't want you to always feel like you need a camera in your face." And he said, "Look, dude, you're a part of this weekend. You're a part of what's happening. You're part of the friends. Just be here, be present." So I said, okay. So from that point forward, like I slept in his hotel room one night, me and that was a whole nother story with his setup was insane. But my point is that I've built the rapport and relationships well before we step foot on anything in where stress is going to be high. And I think that's sort of what you want for anything, right? Like you want to have relationships and trust with your kids and family before things get stressful. You want to have relationships and trust with business partners and friends before things get stressful, because if it isn't established, it can fracture in that moment of pressure. And you build that foundation with going through things together and building, much like you do with the gym. You don't start with the end result. You start with the light results and work your way to where you can accomplish big and great things together.
I love that. I love that idea of being, so you're in the trenches, so you can over the top with them as well. I mean, I've interviewed Matt Fraser, amazing guy. You know, I've interviewed Carrie Pierce, but I get to see them by what questions I ask and how deep I can get them to go. But you're seeing them at their worst, you're seeing them at their best. What are you seeing these top performers that makes them so unique? Could you put something on it that says something about their habits, their philosophy, their approach to life? Because these guys are coming back, they're not resting on laurels, but they're coming back and having a great time competing. You know, I mean, I'd love to have Emma Lawson on the show. I'd love to have Rich Froning. You know, there's all these amazing people. But I think I can only get into it a part. You're getting to see their whole life What is it that makes them so unique, do you think, that makes them such great competitors?
I would say an unhealthy level of competition and wanting to win. And I saw that with very much with Rich. I saw that very much with Matt. And it's not just anything. It could be checkers. It could be chess. It could be video games. It could be minute to win it games. They all want to win. And it doesn't matter what the challenge is. That's what makes our show like the Buttery Games so fun, is because we have not just CrossFitters, but we have strongmen and bodybuilders and WWE superstars. And they're all crazy competitive. And so you put them in something as simple as a flip cup game and they lose their minds trying to win. And an obstacle course or, you know, chugging a drink and eating a fruit by the foot, they get super competitive in these little games and challenges. And that translates not just for the silly minute to win a games, but to the CrossFit games and to these high level, high stakes competitions like the CrossFit games. And for me, one of the biggest things that I've seen between Tia Claire Toomey, Matt Fraser, Justin Medeiros, Rich Froning, Jeffrey Adler, is they're all insanely competitive to the point where general games almost become not fun to play with them if things go wrong for them.
I think I've got an older brother and a younger sister. They were both like that as well. Do you think then that can that be taught, or are they kind of born with that? Do you see them kind of switching? Because you see when they're chatting to you, they're lovely people. But when they compete, they seem to go into this zone. Do you find that their ability to change like a killer switch to compete, or is it just that love of competing and that love for winning that makes them so unique?
I think also part of that is swayed, or that's not the word, but they're not always lovely behind the scenes. We're just only able to get to them in moments. I wouldn't even say that. We probably focus more on when they're friendly because it's a more entertaining spectrum of competition. So like Laura Horvath, for example, you only see her talking to me after she wins events because that's the only time she would be approachable or let me approach her. And so that is a, I guess that's a skewed perspective of what they're like. Before certain events, I know to just, you know, hey, I'm going to give them space. I'm going to film from a distance. If I had a huge budget, and a full camera crew, I would insert myself in certain areas and filming behind the scenes. And then other times I would have someone with a long lens and a parabolic mic filming them from a distance, to really get zoned in on when they're locked in and to, have a better look at what happens in the corrals. But a lot of the times, we go to these competitions, I'm trying not to be distracting when they're really in the zone and capture that quietly and then interact with them when I'm not taking them away from their competition. Like I don't ever want to be the reason. I would never want to be the reason that someone didn't perform well, because I was goofing around with them or getting in their heads before they competed. So I think we get a little bit of skewed perspective on what athletes are like right before they're about to compete and when they flip that switch. But I think what makes this sport specifically so cool is, for the most part, if you've worked this hard and you've suffered this much, they used to say like there was a barrier for assholes to be able to be that successful in this sport or to take part in this sport, because it is so humbling all the time. Like handstand pushups, they humble me anytime I do them. Deadlifts humble me anytime I see them in competition because I get smoked by them. And so to be successful, you have to have been humbled so many times before you get to this point that you have a level of humility that you might not see in other sports. And so for the most part, anyone that I've been able to work with that's at the top of the sphere of CrossFit has been very lovely to work with. But that's also partly because I know when to approach them and when not to approach them.
And what sort of thing are you seeing? Maybe they're, because like I interviewed a fighter pilot called Hazard Lee, and he was talking about how they can have a standard mission and they will have a 30-minute conversation on one radio call that didn't go right, and they will drill it and drill it till it goes right. And he said that they have like a live debate, the live reviews, you know, that's the most important part of the mission to them, because they want to get it right, to see, fix the problems. How do you see somebody using sort of recovery methods in between the rounds, using recovery outside of it, but also reviewing what went right and wrong with these top performers? Do they let you in on their views of how they're going to fix it for next time, how they analyze themselves, the metrics they use? You know, I mean, it could be anything from a missed rep to just not feeling it in the moment. How do you see their kind of approach to reviewing and recovering so they come back better and better for each round, but also as a better person, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. And I can't say, like, I wish I had a great story about, like, Matt sitting down and reviewing every video from the 2018 games or 17. And I'm sure he's probably done that to some degree. Unfortunately, a lot of the season and time that I'm with people, it's in the heat of the moment, not necessarily like the weeks following where they're reviewing their performance. And because, give me a sec. Because the sport of CrossFit, each event is dramatically different from the previous one. There's no point, I think, for them reviewing in that moment, hey, what happened on the workout Amanda? There's no point reviewing their muscle-ups in the weekend because they're probably not going to have muscle-ups again. But what they can review is their attitude going in towards the next event. And what they can do is focus on fueling themselves and eating properly and getting their body core temperature down. And that's really the recovery methods that they're doing internally and mentally. I'm sure they're doing a lot of things, but looking at mistakes from a previous workout isn't going to help them to get better in the next one. So just looking at what the next workout is and figuring out strategy and where they're at physically to have the best possible outcome when they go out onto the competition floor. That's really what I see. I'm sure like Sevan did this great video with Miko Salo where they watched all the 2009 games back and gave feedback to what was happening and what was going on. But a lot of the times they're doing that throughout the season, not necessarily watching competition footage. They're rewatching their snatch and seeing where they're doing on the second pole or the third pole and what happens in the catch. Or they're rewatching, hey, every time I come off a pull-up bar and I go to do a clean and jerk, I transition much slower. So I need to work on my transition from here to here. I think that's really what they'll do mentally versus worrying about, hey, I got no rep here. What can I make sure to do on the next time to see that that doesn't happen? It's more worrying about, hey, how can I clear the cache here in my brain so that I'm fresh and more optimistic on this next workout to be successful there?
Yeah, rather than bitching about the past, you're looking at how can I reset and get going again? Yeah, because I can remember dwelling about getting tapped in jiu-jitsu for hours for almost the next day. And I was thinking, what am I doing? I'm wasting life on jiu-jitsu that finished.
Like jiu-jitsu would be different, right? Because you're doing the same thing sort of on the next time you go back to the mats. So dwelling on that and thinking, okay, when so-and-so does this move, on a chessboard, I see these things, I can adjust so that I can go here and I can move or I can roll this direction. Where CrossFit's so different because you might stress about what you did in this 21-15-9 rep scheme of a workout, but you might not ever see that again that weekend, but you will see it potentially next year or sometime down the road. So you can think about it at a later time, but in the moment of the weekend, you can't think about the 21-15-9 because you're not going to see that scheme again. Like you're not going to see the same mat again or the same competition floor again. It's always changing and always evolving. But a sport like jiu-jitsu or basketball or swimming, like you can dwell a little bit on those things because if you're doing swimming, you're going to repeat that 100-yard freelay again or 100-meter freelay again at a different time and know exactly, oh, I need to do a flip turn like this. So I can think about that specific moment and which stroke number I want to flip on versus where it, over in our sport, it's very different because it's always changing and never the same.
I love that because it's, I remember somebody saying that to me about the games themselves. You don't get told what you're doing till literally before you go out. So how do you prep for that? How do you sort of plan for that? I interviewed Hodger Gracie, jiu-jitsu legend, and he was saying, I don't make a game plan. I just know that this is my strengths. I'm bringing them to my strengths. I'm not worrying about what they do well. I'm not going to let them get there. I'm going to focus on my own strengths to do it. So how do you plan for something like the games then? Is there a way to do this or a CrossFit workout that you don't know how you're going to do it?
Yeah, so the idea, and like I said earlier on, is and I think this is great for anybody training for life, right? Like this is where CrossFit succeeds so well. And what makes that sport so cool is because it's always different and you might not find out what the workout is until minutes before you go on. And even at one point, it was during the workout, you were finding out the next movement. you literally are on your feet constantly, right? Like you're on your toes. Yeah. So you have to be preparing for literally everything. There's times where, and for a true test of fitness, that's what it should be, because you want to be prepared. Their title, their quote is unknown, for the unknown and unknowable. So you could have to do a swim. You could have to do a run. You could have to walk on your hands and spin around while you're on top of your hands and do a bar muscle up or a front raise, or there's an unlimited list of tasks that they could require you to do in this sport. And so the overall idea is to touch as many of those things as regularly as possible, especially those that you are weak at, regularly, so that you can get better at them while maintaining your strength, so that when you have your home run attempts, you can knock them out of the park and not suck so bad over here.
I think that's what I do with jiu-jitsu. I try not to let anything else just slip while I'm trying to improve and stuff. So, I mean, you do these amazing things. You record these things. You work with these amazing people. You have a community that loves you. You inspire so many people. How do you take what you learn from the Battery Bros, the brand, the videos, the documentaries, etc., and how do you take that and just keep improving yourself? How do you take the teachings, the learnings, the diet changes, the technique changes, the motivation from changing somebody's life to be making yourself and better, to making better documentaries? How do you keep growing as a person through using your channel, through your coaching, your whatever it is? How do you use that to make your life better, happier, and give back to others? I know it's a bit another kind of ridiculous question, but
yeah, it's a grand question, but I'll try and answer it. The biggest thing we do, and it's something that I started early on with creating videos for CrossFit, was a lot of the times I was asked to do videos that weren't that interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So I tried to teach myself something new, a new trick every video I made. Whether that was, hey, I've got three guys talking. What's the best way to get audio from these three people? Okay. We're gonna try this method. We're gonna try this method the next time we do it. What's the easiest way to record a live looking TV show or a news show with three cameras recording at once? Is it with a switcher or is it back in Final Cut where I'm editing back and forth between cameras? So every video I tried for a very long time to teach myself a new skill. Whether that's, and that can evolve and change dramatically from video to video. I try to continually learn various things about the craft, whether that's how to snatch better, which is something that I've been working on, or how to better light a scene or a room if I'm going to do something that's different than just a fly on the wall filmmaking. What lens could I use this time that changes it just a little bit so that it's what looks better. How can we spent a lot of time lately really working on dialing in the first 30 seconds of our videos so that they have a better hook and much more trying to work on overall storytelling throughout them. And studying other people on YouTube that aren't necessarily in CrossFit or fitness, just better people that have a much bigger audience and storytelling on that platform. And so trying to continually learn, set small goals along the way, and have a bigger goal down the road. And that's like all of these things, like that's the continuing theme of this whole conversation, right? Is is picking very simple things to do on a daily basis with a larger objective to try and accomplish in the next 3 months to 5 years.
Because you'd be amazed at the number of people that don't have goals. You know, they don't ever try and improve. And I think that's why we need great content makers like yourself who kind of can inspire and show that these things can be done at any ages. What do you want the evolution of the brand to be? How do you want to take this and go further? Do you have a kind of grand mission, or are you just enjoying this journey and seeing people change and seeing the development in yourself, your relationship, with your kids? Are you seeing just being happy at the moment, or do you have a kind of grand mission that you'd like the evolution and the push of Buttery Bros to eventually become?
Yeah, I would definitely like the Buttery Bros to be a... There's two goals, and they're sort of conflicting. I love having a really dedicated, smaller audience that is very supportive of what we're doing. Like, we have a pretty big audience on YouTube and social media. But there's a dedicated hardcore fan base, and I've talked to really big creators, and they're like, focus on the 5 to 10,000 that are going to be there for you no matter what.
Yeah.
Versus appealing to the masses, because hopefully the masses will come. But if you have that, you can be successful. I would love to appeal to as many people as possible while still taking care of our core values and audience, and also not growing to a point where I can't be there when I want to be there for my friends and family and kids, specifically for, you know, the next 10 years where they're still at home. After that, it could be whatever. They're going to be off at college. I'll have a lot more time and freedom to be able to do things. But build this entity, the Buttery Bros, to a broader audience to inspire more people to want to take part in bettering themselves while still having free time and not just free time, but important time and value time with my kids and wife. That's sort of the balance that I strive for. Like, I would love for this to impact what's happening here, but this is the priority and this is the passion. And so yeah. I'm able to blend those two things because I love both very much. But I would never want to grow this to a point where I can't be there for this. And I don't know that that's a possibility. I think I just have enough balance in my life that I wouldn't let that happen. But growing this is impacts so many things that happen in my life that that's the flower where I'm pouring the most water outside of my family.
Well, it's a brilliant answer. I love the way you look at these things. I mean, because you've got a beautiful family. How do you feel that you changed as a person when you became a father? You know, and how would you want to see the physical education given to kids, the teachings given to kids changed? You know, because you've interviewed some amazing people, you've learned so much, you've changed as a person. How would you want your kids to be, you know, like, taught about fitness, about life growing up? You know, how did it change you to become a father, and how would you like things to be different for your kids compared to your upbringing?
Oh, I think if they had my upbringing, they would be, you know, that would be better than my mom and dad did a phenomenal. I think I'm biased, of course.
Because when I was younger, we got no fitness education. I think it was about an hour a week or something like that. You know, it's not enough.
Dude, so we had physical education, and I'll say this, we had like this national presidential fitness award campaign given out the states. Arnold, I was just there. This is so funny to bring up. So at the University of Utah, our local university, we had, hang on, Maverick, I'll be right there, buddy. You want to come in and say hi? I'm on a podcast. I'm on an interview right now.
We got to the last level.
Oh, cool, dude. He just got to the last level of video game. Anyways, National Fitness, our local university, they have this football stadium. And the other day, like a week ago, I was walking around on the football field. And I said, I haven't been here since 1993, I think, or maybe 96, when Arnold Schwarzenegger came and they had this huge National Fitness thing and they were doing all kinds of stuff. But they had two awards that they gave out. You either got the blue ribbon for being like really well-rounded as an athlete in fitness. You got a red ribbon if you were able to hit like 8 out of the 10 tests or 4 out of 5. And then you got nothing if you weren't able to do that. I got the red ribbon. I couldn't even do all of them because I couldn't fold in half. I didn't pass the flexibility award. So flexibility has always been a lifelong issue of mine, and I'm still working on it today. I've done a lot of go-out in the last few months to get more mobile. But so your original question is, how is becoming a parent, the generic answer that any parent should or gives is instantly you become more selfless. The second I'm holding my firstborn on my chest in the hospital, my whole life came to, maybe not my whole life, but I there's a love, and in for me, there was an instant love and affection towards this human that has changed everything that I'm doing from that point forward. I want him to be the happiest, most successful human I could possibly raise. And I spend a lot of time trying to better myself, my relationships, balance my business and work life so that I can be there for him. So I can not only, so I can be there for him as a parent and as a fellow human along this weird journey we have here on Earth. I don't know that I would change a whole lot. My parents did a really good job. My mom wasn't very physically active, other than she was very active in just constantly working and doing things, gardening, like she never sat still and had a huge work ethic, which I think is really translated to myself. And my father had this love for general sports that has been imbued into me and my brothers, where like we bonded by playing basketball and football and tennis and swimming and water skiing and snow skiing. So we really raised us to be really physically active. And I try to do that with my kids, even more so to inspire them when I'm working through things and showing them that, like, if I go sit on the bike, it's not just because I want to go move my legs in a circular manner in a still position on a static Concept 2 bike for hours on end. I'm working through things mentally, and I'm analyzing, and I'm thinking, and I'm changing myself as a human so that I can be a better business partner, husband, father. That's what I'm doing when I'm doing physical activities. And so leading them through example and then showing them that fitness is fun. And so specifically, unfortunately, when we're home, they don't see a whole lot of it. But when we travel and we go on the road and they come with me to gyms, they really see it and they love it and they want to be a part of it. And my hope and goal is that the older they get, the more they're going to want to be involved in that. And I see friends of mine that do that now and have a great relationship with father and sons and daughters, because they all go together and have shared suffering in the gym, and they're seeing their parents be humbled by movements, but then overcoming and being successful in them, and seeing this journey, which is such a really weird silo, but a great metaphor for life.
Because I love that you came in to share the triumph of, you know, the video game. I mean, I'm only an uncle at the moment, and I love the fact that the joy, the inspiration that they come to me and say, "Oh, I did this, I did," and it's so amazing to see the passion in their eyes, and, you know, with just a bit of kind of molding, you can shape their life for future. I've used up so much of your time. I'm so sorry we've gone way over time, but what would you want people to take from this, apart from your love for batter, which I had to explain to quite a lot of people where the batty part came from? What would you want people to take from this interview?
I don't know. I don't have an overall message. Like I guess I'll end, I don't know if we're ending, but I'll leave you with our mission statement is to spread butter and to spread joy. We try to make things that can be painful look fun and attainable, because these things that can be intimidating can be hard and are hard. If you can find joy in that, you can find joy in anything, and you can work through anything with these kind of simple things, right? Like the overall theme that has continued to come up through this whole conversation is to get better at X, make small goals along the way with an overall arching goal to working towards what you want long term. So find joy in the small things with a path and plan to achieve big things.
because you were in a way a nightmare prepper, because there was three different podcasts that were coming in. There was like you as a person, you as a CrossFit, you as a, you know, Battery Bros, you as a creative, and there was just so many different avenues we could have gone. So I tried to keep it general, but I'd love to go another one and really go into specifics with you, because you're such an interesting person. I love the things you're doing. You're helping so many people. But how can we follow this journey? How can we join the gang? How can we follow along, come to your training sessions, follow your documentaries, your media, all that sort of thing?
The best places to find us right now are follow along on our YouTube channel. Social media and following people's journeys is an insane thing, and it's evolving ever much. But we found that the most successful and longest term play that we've had is come follow our YouTube. If you want more inside stuff, come hang out on our Instagram page, Buttery Bros, or at Heber Cannon, or Mars Media, Marsden Sawyers, at Marsden Sawyers, and Julian.G Marquez. That's the three of us that we include regularly on our show. And then that's, you know, I respond to most DMs and things on Instagram. But YouTube is where we're going to put out the best buttery that we're spreading.
Well, that's it for another week, and thank you for listening. It's now time to take what you've learned and use it to develop and enhance your life with the key points mentioned. Listen, try it, embrace it, use it, and crush it. Now's your time to hit that next level in your life. If you liked this episode, then please leave a comment on the show notes or a review of the show on your podcast platform. Everything helps evolve the show. Until next week, keep seeking the next level in your life.